Devon. Sybil English is with us. A recent study that examined $178 million in charitable donations discovered that only 13% of individuals received 73% of the money. The report, which examines over 100 programs to give an overview of the impact of the charity sector, was produced by wealth management company Jardine and social analytics firm Impact Lab. Sybil is the former Prime Minister and Chair of Impact Lab. He's with us for a kōrero today. Well, tēnā koe, it's great to catch up with you again. Kia ora.
Moana, tēnā koutou katoa.
Kia ora, it's great to catch up with you. Whereabouts are you now? Are you still down south, or where do you call home nowadays?
Well, mostly in Wellington, because my wife Mary has a medical practice here as a doctor, and I've got a home down south, so I get there as much as I can.
Tēnā koe. You're missing politics?
No, not particularly. You have a phase of life where you do your political service, and then it's up to the next generation.
What are you making of where we're at the moment as we await the special votes and the makeup of this next government?
Well, like everyone else, I'm wondering why it takes 3 weeks to count the special votes. But look, I think you've got a group of people there who know that the public don't want too much politics and politicking. They just want a stable, effective government that gets on with meeting their needs and getting the economy running a bit better.
Tēnā koe, the swings and roundabouts of politics. One day you're the hot news, and the next day fish and chip wrappers. It's a pretty volatile environment.
Yeah, but look, that's part of just how it works. It's a privilege to get to serve in politics, but you know you're only about a week away from your biggest mistake and losing your job. All people in leadership positions know this. You take iwi leadership, you know, that's actually tougher because everyone's a lot closer. So I was very lucky to have the opportunity I did, and my time was finished, and there's always people looking to do the job when you move out.
You pride yourself on advancing many Māori issues during your time in politics as the Minister of Finance, and also for your time as Prime Minister. Are you hoping that some of those positive initiatives are continued in the next term?
Yes, I certainly am, and I think they will be. You know, you've just got a growing strength in your iwi organisations and other Māori organisations, and we want to make sure that momentum is built on, because it works for the whole country as well as for Māori.
Need I ask you which way you voted?
No, you don't need to ask. I'm pretty predictable. You know?
Good on you, Bill. Can we talk about your mahi? I don't know much about Impact Lab. Maybe you could just describe why you're associated with that kaupapa to get us underway. Then we'll talk about the charities issue. What does Impact Lab do, and why do you like being the chair?
Well, it involves my family. So my family are shareholders in it, along with one other person. Look, what it does is it uses the latest technology and data to help charities do the job better. And that's our tagline, doing good better. So we work with about 300 charities, including quite a lot of Māori groups and iwi, who are thinking pretty hard about how to make sure that the money they spend is changing lives. And it's very rewarding work, because you see these often quite small organisations incredibly motivated by their care for people. And we can give them we can validate what they do. They find, you know, that we do some sort of technical stuff that helps them understand they are doing a good thing. It's going to be good for the community, and working out how to do it better.
Yeah, it's always difficult to quantify the success of charitable initiatives, isn't it? It's not as though you can just read the bottom line on the balance sheet, because as I've discussed with others, how do you factor in the growth and confidence of a person or a whānau, and how you might factor that into describing the success or not of those involved in the charitable sector? So it's a bit of a tougher nut to crack, but the report Charitable Sector Insights measures the social return on a program's impact on a person or family's well-being over their lifetime. How do you do that? And why was this report undertaken?
Well, if you take an example of one group we work with who work with pregnant mums who are homeless. Now, we all, and really what we work out, what we work with them on is if that nothing happens with that mother, if she's still, she's sleeping in the car and has a baby and she's still homeless, we all know that's not going to go well. And there's a big difference in benefit to her and her, particularly her child, but also the community. If we can put in, if that charity puts in the time and effort to get them into some to sustainable housing and the kind of maternal care that they need. Now, you can put a number on that, and we do. The most important thing, though, is that the particular charity who are doing that have worked through just exactly what steps they take. They now understand how much good they're doing, because it's very significant. And they're working, they're taking that report off to funders, because, you know, MSD and everyone refer people to them, but no one pays. So they've now got, when they go to a funder, like a community trust or government agency, they can say, look, we've been through a process that means we know just what we're doing. We know, this is how beneficial it is. So, and these are high priority people. You know, what can be more important than a homeless pregnant mother?
Tēnā koe, thanks for the description. But what about the report, the charitable sector insights? What would you share with us as being some of the key findings and what they mean?
Well, look, the one you mentioned actually is, in my view, one of the more important ones, Dale. That's about that there's a smaller group of people who need a lot of support. And in the charity sector, at least, that's where a fair bit of the money flows. And they tend to be like the mothers I've just mentioned, or complex families. And I think one of the things that's really clear is government's not good at dealing with those people, because it's got these big agencies who are designed to pump out sort of commodity services, average services that suit most people. And our focus is on the 15% of the population who have the most challenging lives. And I think what the report shows is that often, or almost most of the time, community groups, iwi, other sort of Māori and Pacifica trusts are doing a much better job of providing a comprehensive and trusted service for people who've got really difficult lives. And when, and the people I'm talking about here are, you know, that the sort of a big group of young offenders in our community, well, not a big group, a few thousand across the country. Kids who don't really live anywhere, don't go to school, don't get a benefit. The homeless pregnant mother, so people with chronic illness in and out of the justice system. I mean, those are this report helps shine a light on the needs of those people and shows that the charities actually are doing a reasonable job of meeting their needs.
Tēnā koe. So for the most part, you'd suggest that the charity sector is or should be seen by most of us as being trustworthy?
Yeah, pretty effective. I think the point is not so much whether they're doing the right thing or not, but most of them, almost all of them, are doing something really useful. The question is how can they get to do more of it, and how can they get to be more effective? We started with working with a lot of quite small charities, and now we're starting to work with larger groups, Pacifica and Māori groups, some small public agencies, who have the firepower to make a difference. So if you really shine a light into the real needs in the community, then you can actually change how it works. Quite a few of our funders, you know, our kind of mainstream funders, can use these tools to understand better what's really going on, and then being able to direct their funding where it's going to make the most difference.
Tēnā koe, when charities falter, and there are tax breaks, of course, afforded charities, and sometimes I'm familiar with organisations' charitable status being under review, but then the Charities Commission doesn't seem to have the teeth legislatively. What might you say of when there are some dubious behaviours and where the Charities Commission sits, Bill?
Well, we haven't come across really dubious behaviour, but we have come across charities where people, you know, a small number of people seem to be getting, you know, seem to be paid pretty well, and an awful lot of the money goes on fundraising, and only 20% of it ends up. So if we see anything that really worries us there, then we would report it to the Charities Commission. But I have to say it's pretty rare. My understanding is that these days the Charities Commission is much tougher about who can register as a charity, and that's probably a good thing. Look, there's thousands of them that are listed that, from what we can see, they're kind of listed. They might have a volunteer or two, but they aren't doing much. And we tend to be working with those that are engaging with their community and pretty effective.
Dinakwe, it's been good talking with you. Lovely to catch up again. Have you got any farming interests still, Bill?
I've still got a bit of dirt. My Turanga Waiwai, there in the middle of Southlands, under the watchful eye of my tahu.
Well, I hope life's going good for you, and it's neat hearing your voice again on Māori Radio. Thanks for sharing some time with us this morning.
Tēnā koe, bye.
Tēnā koe.